Welcome back into Outdoors with Jake. I'm Jake Wimberly with Wimberly Taxidermy. Richard Cox sitting in the guest chair with Mississippi Whitetails. Justin Smith is producing this portion of the program, brought to you by The Landing, located at 111 Colony Crossing in Madison, and they are your premier clothing store regardless of the occasion. From a night out on the town to the cookout on the weekend or a day on the water, The Landing has you covered. Come check out all their awesome apparel lines. Plus, they've got Yeti coolers and Cobain flip-flops and so much more. Give Bradford a call at 601-707-7505 or stop by and see them right down from Georgia Blue in Madison. The Landing, a proud partner of Outdoors with Jake. Right now, guys, we're going to shift gears. You know, a couple weeks ago, we talked about this high fence hunting phenomenon. It's just, you know, there was a piece put out. We had Ryan Sabalo on with the Indy Star talking about trophy deer industry linked to disease, and it's costing taxpayers millions. And I had a great conversation over the weekend with our next guest, Charlie Seal. He is with American Servite Alliance, and Charlie joins the program now. Charlie, how's it going?
Jake, thank you very much. It's going very well, and we appreciate you having us on this afternoon.
Absolutely. And Charlie, you know, we had a chance to speak about this off the air, and of course, we want to preface this conversation with saying this is not a conversation that, you know, we're here to, I guess, talk down about Ryan Sabalo. Obviously, he's a friend of the program, but really the kind of what this is the old, there's two sides to every story. And Charlie, I want to start here. Talk a little bit about the American Servite Alliance and tell everybody, our listeners, what this alliance is all about.
Well, the American Servite Alliance is, and Servite is another name. It's an Italian name for deer.
Thank you.
But it's the American Deer Alliance, and that's we're 36 associations, state and national, across the country, that are primarily made up of the Farm Servite Committee and our Farm Servite Industry and the Conservation Hunting Preserves. So we formed an alliance that we can. Have a unified voice and be able to speak to the correct science on a lot of the issues, and primarily the issue that we're facing right now is the CWD, or chronic wasting disease issue, and also some of the myths and controversies over conservation hunting.
Charlie Seal is our guest. He is with American Servite Alliance, and we're talking about high fence hunting. And Charlie, let's talk a little bit about this piece that Ryan did. And of course, you know, we're just going to reference this piece only because, you know, Ryan and this piece that was put together, it kind of goes in one direction. You guys kind of go in the other direction. Of course, this piece talks about, you know, disease and costing taxpayers millions of dollars. Talk about some of the research that your group has done in regards to CWD. And is this as big of an epidemic as some people are saying that it is?
Well, just a quick brief history. CWD was first discovered in the research facilities out in Fort Collins, Colorado, back in the mid-60s. And it wound up east of the Mississippi River, and there's various accounts of how it got there. Some folks say that it was through research on CWD that was being done at the University of Wisconsin, and you know, I guess there's no really clear way. Now, the first breeding operation or facility that was found in, and this is one thing that's being left out of the conversation, is the fact that it was found in a deer that was purchased from the DNR, which was a wild deer, the DNR, which is the Department of Natural Resources there in Wisconsin. And that was back when it was legal to do so. You could purchase fawns and things like that that people turned in or found that were abandoned. And that was where it was first found, in a breeding facility. And from there, the story has just escalated. More and more cases have been found. But here's the thing, Jake, that people don't realize is that, you know, they talk about all the millions of dollars spent. Wisconsin spent $32 million trying to eradicate the disease in the wild. And after $32 million and killing literally thousands of deer down in the southern part of the state, what happened was they found that they increased the population of the deer by 44%, which meant that management, when you truly manage deer and you remove the overpopulation, the populations will explode. So the bottom line is CWD has not contributed to the demise of the free-ranging deer, if you will, in any way. And one other thing that they people don't realize is that the servite farmers, the farm servite industry, is probably one of the most scrutinized and regulated industries, ag industries in the country. I mean, before you can even move a deer interstate, Jake, you have to be 5 years monitored. And what that means is you test 100% of all eligible mortalities. And an eligible mortality in the pen or the breeding facility is any deer that's over 12 months or older that dies in that facility must be tested for CWD. And that has to be for 5 years doing that before you're ever allowed to cross state lines.
Charlie Seal is our guest. He is with American Cervid Alliance. You can visit their website at www.americanservidalliance.org. Tons of information on this website. I'm looking at it right now as we talk about this conversation. Charlie, let's talk about some of these news and announcements you guys have on your page. There's a piece put out here. It says, fence hunting doesn't spread disease. And if I'm looking at this thing right, this was actually printed in the Indy Star July 30th, just a few weeks ago. So I'm not saying they've backtracked on what they've said as far as Sabalo's piece, but now they're coming out with a piece that's saying, hey, this probably doesn't spread disease. Your thoughts?
Well, and I don't think they're backtracking. I think they're giving both sides, just as you are this afternoon. They're giving both sides of this issue. And, you know, Jake, there's going to be the left side, there's going to be the right side of an issue, and you're never going to probably change that 10% on either side. Probably never going to change their mind about any of this. But the 80% of the folks out here that maybe don't understand or don't really know what the issues are, those are the ones that, you know, they need to hear both sides of this issue and then be able to make up their own minds themselves as to which side literally of the fence they're going to stand on. I think, and we applaud the Indy Star for allowing some of these articles to come out to try to give some of the correct science on these issues.
And Charlie, let me ask you this too. You know, obviously, I guess you could say the industry of high fence hunting has taken somewhat of a beating in the media. It's taken, it's taken its lump, so to speak. What are you guys doing to help the industry, and what is the industry doing to, I guess, improve their image, if that makes any sense at all?
Well, first off, people need to understand and that every association out here has a strict code of ethics that we abide by. We have, and most of the associations have a strong ethical committee that when we do have an allegation of an alleged ethics violation, we have a committee that looks into these things. And believe it or not, we have removed members. You've got bad actors in any industry or any business out here, and we certainly are not going to sit here and tell you that we don't have a few bad actors ourselves, but we try to eliminate those from the industry and get them away from what we consider our membership and our associations of the 99.9% of the folks that are doing it right and doing it ethical. And we need to put that to the public out here. Our industry has done a very poor job over the past in educating the public about what we do. And I saw a recent Outdoor Life survey that asked the question, do you oppose or are you in favor of banning high-fenced hunting and the captive industry? And 62% of those were hunters that answered that survey said it wasn't for them, but they were not in favor of banning the industry. Only 17% said that it was not a legitimate agriculture industry and it should be banned.
Yeah, I think when you look at the dollar and the monetary figures of something like high fence hunting, obviously, you know, if it's done right, and of course, obviously, you guys are in a position to try to make sure this thing is run as smoothly, I guess you could say, as well-oiled machine as it can be. I mean, if you talk about removing this thing, you're talking about not only removing something that people like to do, but you're talking about removing a big portion of financing and the way people make a living, and it's not like there a lot of people out there doing this, you know. And I'm sure there's bad apples in every bunch, but this definitely, from the economic standpoint, is a bad deal when you start talking about removing it. Is it not?
Well, it is, and it's a $4.4 billion industry, and we have well over 25,000 to 30,000 jobs that this thing fuels, and so when we start talking about doing away with that, you're talking about people who have made huge investments, just like the cattle guys or the pork or poultry guys have made huge investments. And you know, one of the things that I think that maybe the public doesn't understand is that this is a business, it's not just a hobby that folks have. And so, you know, I'm certainly not going to do anything in my investment that's going to be detrimental to my product. My product being my breeding operation. So I want to make sure that my animals are the healthiest. I want to make sure that that nothing jeopardizes that I'm not going to export or import anything that's going to jeopardize my investment. And so that's the way every one of us feel about this.
Charlie Seal is our guest. He's with American Servant Alliance right here on Outdoors with Jake. We're talking about the high fence hunting story that, I guess stories now you can say that. It's just kind of, it's a big topic around the country. It's really passionate. It rivals some of the other stories around the country that's really passionate. And Charlie, let's talk a little bit more about your organization. On your website, it says you have representatives from 37 separate elk, deer, and exotic associations. How can you become a part of your team? And if someone's listening that is pro high fence hunting and they want to do something about it, they want to take a step in that direction, how can they do that?
Well, the only ones that can belong to the American Servant Alliance are actually you have to be a member of an association. And those associations each have a council person that represents and is the voice for that particular association. There are no dues. There are no paid staffs. This is simply a coalition or an alliance, if you will, that can study the issues and make sure that we're doing everything in our power to get the right message out to the public. So, you know, if you've got an individual who is in the industry, they can join that association. They can't join the alliance, but they can join the association who might be a member of the alliance. So that's how they do it.
And obviously, I'm looking through some of these. We got just a few minutes here. Some of these, I guess, myths and questions. And you know, let me ask you this: what's some of the, I guess you could say, I won't say use the term crazy, but off the wall questions that you guys get asked about your association?
Well, one of the things that we hear all, and I think every article always starts itself by saying this, is that CWD is always a fatal disease. Well, Jake, yeah, it's a fatal disease because they have to kill the animal to test for it. So there is no live test. And that's one of the things that the American Servant Alliance is really pushing for. And that's, we're financing research right now for a live test for CWD. And we're right there on the edge. And if we ever come up with that live test, which it's going to happen in the next, you know, couple of 3 years, we won't be having this discussion anymore about CWD. And another myth that folks have is that they get two of the acronyms confused. There's one that's called EHD and then CWD. Now, EHD kills literally thousands and thousands of deer a year. It wipes them out. And I think folks get confused that they're thinking that CWD is the one that's doing this. But EHD is called epizootic hemorrhagic disease. That's caused by a biting fly or a little midge. And it kills thousands of deer. Right now, this time of the year is when we're having our biggest problem. So, you know, that's a myth that we have. I think folks attribute all these deaths to these deer that they find to CWD.
Charlie Seal is our guest. He is with the American Servant Alliance. You can visit his website at www.americanservantalliance.org. And Charlie, we thank you so much for taking some time with us today. And look, we're going to keep our eye on this story, and we'll catch up and do it again.
Jake, thank you so much for having us, and you guys have a rest of a wonderful evening.
You too. That's Charlie Seal with American Servant Alliance right here on Outdoors with Jake. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, Andy Chapman's going to be visiting with us on our Firing Pin to the Fork segment. His guest this week, Chef Jeremy Infinger with the County Seat, new restaurant in Madison. He's going to tell you all about it. We'll be back right after this.